Thanks so much for being here, neighbor. I create this podcast each week in hopes that twin moms like you can find some more moms to connect to and learn from. I'd love it if you'd share this podcast with your other twin mom friends so they can join us here. If you don't have any twin mom friends, then you can join me on Instagram at Neighborhood Twin Mom, where this week's guest, Kiki, found me. She binge listened to all of the episodes and then reached out to me on Instagram, and we have connected there, which has been a lot of fun. Had a fun chat with her today on the podcast. She is a mom to four boys and fraternal twin girls. We chat about her pregnancy, temporary bed rest, and her uncomplicated fast vaginal delivery, her favorite twin products, and what she is doing to develop stronger relationships with her family members. So enjoy. Hey, I'm Amber, mom to boy-girl twins plus three other girls. My oldest was in kindergarten when baby five came along. I have a lot of kids and a lot of practice parenting them, but when I have a question, I turn to an expert, another mom. I believe the best advice comes from moms in the trenches, living it day in and day out. So sit back as I ask the real experts, moms like you, all the advice you asked for, and some you didn't. This is Neighborhood Twin Mom. Welcome to the neighborhood. I have super fan Kiki here, who listened to all of the episodes in 2 days. But I'll let you introduce your kids, because you got a gaggle of them.
I'm Kiki. I have been married for, it'll be 16 years this November, and we have six kids. We have four singleton boys that are 13, 11, 6, and 2. Then I don't remember how old Camden was, because that's math. But now we have 11-month-old twin girls.
Where the twin surprise?
So we were trying, and actually my Facebook album is try for one more, we said, or something like that. Like,
oh, yeah.
We'll just try for one more, because we had four boys. So everyone just automatically thinks, you're going to try for the girl, which we were not specifically trying for a girl, because at this point, we're four boys in. We don't make those. And so I was like, we'll just try for another one. And I just remember being so sick at so early. And I was only 3 weeks and like 4 days when I found out, but I didn't think anything of it. And I just remember going to the doctor and seeing both little, you know, black dots on the screen and just losing my mind. Like, no, that's not right. This can't be right.
And you were alone, right? Your husband didn't come with you?
Yes. We were going out of town for like an informal job interview. And I went just by myself because he had to work. I actually have a picture of the exact moment that I found out, like not of my face. Like I took a picture of the screen, like as soon as it was like, oh my gosh, no. And then I also remember because they were separate sacs, they're die-die. So when I saw that, I remember asking my OB, who he is the best, I love him, I tried to get him to move with us and we ended up moving and he wouldn't go. I was very upset about it, but I just remember saying, okay, so that's two separate sacs, so they're not going to be identical. And then he started saying something and I blacked out.
Yeah.
And I was like, I know now what he said, because I was like, wait, what? He's like, are you okay? I was like, no, I am not okay. This is no. Because he knew we had four kids already. But then I remember him saying, or he said, he repeated, you know, if they're the same gender, there's still a 30% chance that they could be identical.
Right. And
they are definitely not. I don't think they look anything alike. And the people who like to tell me that they look so much alike, but they must be identical, and they argue with you. And I'm like, they don't. They're not identical, but they look alike. Well, they're sisters. They're going to look alike. Like if they're related to each other.
What was your husband's reaction? Because he wasn't there. You freaked out. What was your husband's reaction?
I called him and he ignored the call because we were going out of town. So he was like prepping because he worked at a church. So he was prepping like for services. And I kept calling and he kept ignoring. I said, I'm going to FaceTime you now. And if you don't answer, I'm driving to work. So then he was like, oh gosh, something must be wrong. So I FaceTime him and he's like outside of his office by himself because nobody knew we were pregnant at this point because I had just miscarried the month before I got pregnant with the twins. So we weren't announcing or anything. And I just remember he's normal. He's like, what's wrong? And I just held up the picture and you see the two dots and he goes, you just see all the color drain from his face. And he went, no.
So he knew right away.
Oh, he knew. Because this is our fifth pregnancy, you know, and so he knows what an ultrasound looks like. And he went, no. And there it is. That's what it is.
Have you come to terms with having twins? How long did it take to get excited about twins?
Well, because we were going out of town that weekend, it was just a blur. It was, I was so nauseous like the whole time. And I also have to use progesterone, like the suppositories, because I've had multiple miscarriages. So I'm traveling through TSA with this like box that looked like bullets pretty much. And that they would have to take it out every time because it's in an ice packed cooler. And they're like, ma'am, what is this? I'm like, well, my medicine, please leave it alone. Don't touch it with your fingers, please. So I would just, the whole weekend, I was just, because since we weren't telling anybody, I did tell very close friends. I have multiple friends here where we live with twins. And one of my best friends has twins that are like, they're going to be 3 in July. And so it's just, I was like, Christy, oh my gosh, like what in the world? And she was just, you've got this, you can do it. It's amazing. It'll be crazy, but you got this. So it was just, it's nice having the tribe with multiples.
And so then the pregnancy went pretty standard.
We moved from Oklahoma to Arizona when I was about 15 weeks. So I had to find a new OB and do all that stuff. And I had, you know, high hopes for this OB because she's a twin herself. So I was like, oh, great. And then shortly after I switched because they could not do anything in office for twins.
So lots of appointments, but the pregnancy went well.
It did. I ended up having to go on bed rest though at around like 28 weeks I was contracting. Mm-hmm. And at first I was like, are these Braxton Hicks? And yes, even though I've been pregnant, you know, 5 times, twins is so much different. And even though they are die-die, it's still a high-risk thing. And I just remember standing at the counter and I was just bent over and the receptionist was like, are you okay? Like, I don't know. I don't know if these are contractions real, if they're, do I need water? What's going on? So they checked me and I was already thinning and starting to dilate. And she was like, on your bed, do not move. I'm like, I have a 22-month-old. Now I'm thinking with 21 months. Good luck with that. So I was on modified bed rest. And then I went from modified to full bed rest at like 32 weeks, which I laugh. Like I have 4 other kids. I can't do a full bed rest. We actually were blessed where people were bringing our kids home from school because I couldn't like drive or anything. And the girls were born the Wednesday after Easter. And my husband was a technical director at a church. And so our worship pastor, I actually like snuck out of the house. My husband came and picked me up. I didn't drive, but I needed to get out. I'm such a social person and I needed to get out of the house. I'd been in the house with 4 boys for weeks. They're having an Easter egg hunt. It was all on the church property. So people were helping with my little kids, but I had to get out of the house. And I just remember walking up there and I'm pushing the stroller and there was an outside stage and the worship pastor just looks at me and he's like, this is not bed rest. What are you doing here? Go back home. I was like, I have to get out. I have to get out. And he's like, please just keep them in just one more week. Cause I think it was like the Easter, I thought it was the week before Easter weekend. And then the next weekend, right after Sunday service. So what was Easter that week? Was that like the 4th or something, whatever Easter was that year, the 5th, right after service, all the pastors were walking out, go, all right, Easter's over. Kiki can have the twins now. I was like, oh, thank you so much. Thank you for your blessing for allowing me to have twins. And I did. I went in Wednesday morning, was contracting because I went in for my checkup on that Monday, the Monday after Easter. Went in and I was almost 5 centimeters. Like, at what point do you say we're going to admit you? Like, they're going to fall out at any minute. Like,
yeah.
The nurse practitioner actually had to help me put my pants back on because I couldn't physically get my clothes on. But I scheduled all of my MSM appointments because I was going every week at that point for measurements. And my OB appointments were scheduled back to back because it was the same building. And my OB did not want me out any longer. But right. She's like, I want you home. So you will schedule all of your appointments around each other. Went in on that Friday or the Wednesday morning. And I was 5 centimeters. And they said, we're not going to send you home. I said, okay. so I'm here indefinitely? And she's like, until the babies are born. And they gave me the shot for the steroids because I was 35 and six. So I wasn't 36 weeks yet. And got the shot and then it was admitted. And hallelujah, both girls, 35 weeks and 4 days is when they went head down. They were cut. Caitlin was transverse the entire time. And mm-hmm. I was going sideways. To a chiropractor. Yeah. I was going to a chiropractor to like do positioning to, it's called the Webster method, I think. And it just helps your pelvis adjust and widen and so they can move and get in the right position. But because I was on bed rest, I couldn't physically get there, but I knew the exercises. So I kept doing them at home. And Kaya was head down for a couple of weeks, but Caitlin was just like, I am way too comfortable up here. I have all this space up here. There's someone down there. But I had an ultrasound in the hospital that morning and they were both officially head down. And my OB will not attempt a vaginal delivery unless they are both head down.
Okay.
My OB in Tulsa, as long as baby A was down, he said, we'll do it that way. And then I'll turn baby B if needed. And so that was a big thing my whole pregnancy. I was like, I don't want a C-section. I've, done all vaginal deliveries and everybody just kept saying, it's not that bad. And I said, I understand that it's not that bad. I get that. Especially if it's not an emergency C-section where it's planned. I get that. But I have four small kids that I'm going to have to be caring for, plus two newborn infants. And that's so much harder on my body. It would be so much harder on my body than if I just had a vaginal delivery. And so, hallelujah. They both turned, were head down.
How many minutes apart are they?
Four. They're 4 minutes apart.
4 minutes. Oh man, that's fast.
My OB also wouldn't let me get my epidural and I was not a happy camper about that. She was like, you're fine. Just take some, you can have Stadol or you can have this. And I'm like, can't have anymore. The nurse came in and said, are you ready for an epidural? I was like, I've been ready. I was 5 centimeters when I got here and I've been contracting consistently for hours. So she went up to the doctor, the night nurse, and said, she's getting it. She's in pain. She can't relax. Nothing's going to progress. She's too tense. She has to get this epidural. And finally said, yeah. And they did the epidural, but then come to find out the reason she didn't want it, because she didn't want my labor to progress, honestly, because they wanted the first steroid shot in my body for at least 24 hours before my labor would progress. But I had to find that out the next morning from another OB. And I was like, well, we would have known that, I wouldn't be like so angry this whole entire time. I would have been like, okay, I'll change my own positioning or whatever. But he came in, so I got the first shot at like 11:30 on a Wednesday morning, and he came back at 12:30 and said, okay, it's been 24 hours since your first shot. I can go ahead and break your water now. And he broke my water, or one water, because two separate sacks. And so he broke Kaya's water. And I was still at a 7. He's like, well, keep an eye on her. She can go from 7 to whatever, popping a baby out right here in minutes. 20 minutes later, nothing, still a 7. My nurse comes in and says, I'm about to go on lunch, back in 20 minutes. I said, okay, great. Enjoy your lunch. 5 minutes later, my epidural is wearing off on my hips and I can feel everything and I can't even talk. And it was them, the girls getting into position and I couldn't talk. And my husband's like, maybe you should call the nurse. And I'm like, maybe you should call the nurse. I can't even move. Like, I can't think. And so he calls the nurse and my nurse is gone. So the charge nurse comes in, but my nurse hadn't fully left yet, 'cause she literally just said, I'm about to go to lunch. And so the nurse checks me and she goes, don't move. Where am I going to go?
Yeah.
Okay. She's like, no, I'm holding baby A's head right now. Do not move. I was like, okay. And so she just hollers because she can't move. She's holding her head. I need help in here. And so all of a sudden, my nurse comes running back. All these techs are coming in. My husband is getting his gown off. My husband is also 6'7". And so he's wearing this gown that does not fit him. And it's just hysterical because, when you deliver twins, well, not you, I heard your story. When you deliver twins, you're supposed to do it in the operating room.
Right.
And so they're trying to rush me to the OR as quickly as possible. And I get there and they get me on the bed and the doctor, they go, okay, dad.
They transferred you beds?
Mm-hmm, yeah. While they're like, holding Kaya in there. Don't move. Okay. And so they get me onto a new bed and the doctor comes down the hallway and he goes, why did they wait so long to call me? And my husband was like, we went from 7 to 10 in 5 minutes and the baby's almost out. And he was like, oh, okay. So he runs in, he gets there. He's sitting, you know, prime shot. He's like, dad can come on in. My husband sits on my head or above my head and goes, okay, when are you ready? I was like, now. And Kaya was out. Like, she just was out. And then he goes, you little funny trickster doctor says, do you want them both born on the same day? It's 2:04 p.m. It's not like it's 11:58 p.m. And I'm like, yes, I do. He's like, okay. And then he breaks Caitlin's waters and she was born. He's like, whenever you're ready. And I was like, I think I'm contract, because I still had my epidural, mm-hmm. but I could still feel the tightening. I was like, I think I'm having a contraction. He's like, all right, go ahead. And Caitlin was out 4 minutes later. And he was like, you did it. This is amazing. Congratulations.
And then
I did have complications after having them. I did have prolapses.
Oh, wow. So what they
I had a cervix, my cervix and my uterus both prolapsed. And so they quickly had to squeeze 2 or 3 bags of Pitocin mm-hmm. while his arm is holding my uterus in place to stay in. And I like jokingly said to him, I was like, this is baby 5 and 6. Like, if it fell out, it's done. It just told you it's done. And he's like, it looks healthy. I have to keep it in. Like, if it was like honestly like sickly looking, I could get away with letting it come out. I was like, dang it. But then even at this point, whatever. Like we said, we've got the 12th passenger. What's one more? I'm just kidding.
Got to fill up the 12th passenger, man.
My 6-year-old keeps saying, we need to have 4 more. 4 more what? Kids, we need to have 10. You can have 10 kids. You marry a woman that wants to have 10 kids because it's not your mother.
You can pass the van on to him.
Yeah, exactly.
So you have these 4 older boys and you bring yes. 2 baby girls home. What's it like the first little bit when you bring the twins home?
The boys were in school. So, and my husband was home. He wasn't home that long because I was in the hospital for 5 days. And he, you know, so he missed work and he had to get back, which is his job was amazing where he could, you know, not really work. And so he just had to be there for at least services for like Wednesday night or Thursday night service and Sunday morning service. As long as he was there, he could be home the rest of the time. I remember when he got home from the hospital, we were home and our friends were, because we had no family in Arizona. And one of my husband's coworkers is just amazing. And she stayed at our house every night we were in the hospital, brought our kids to school. She has a grandson about our 2-year-old son's age. And so she would just bring him back to her house with my 5-year-old and they would just play and swim and all that fun stuff. So she was the biggest blessing. And I just remember her coming home and we're home and she's bringing the kids home and I'm holding one of the babies and one of them is in the swing. And so Camden comes up to me and he's like, baby, baby. And then he turns and looks and sees the other baby and goes, what? Why did two? 2 babies. And I was like, yes, mommy had 2 babies. And the older kids understood, but he just was like, 2 sisters? 2 sisters? The whole time. And so it was really sweet.
But you told me that it was easy to have the newborns.
So yes, I feel like the newborn stage is obviously going to be different for everybody. But the newborn stage for me was just so much easier. Once they were starting to get mobile or not in that newborn sleeping all the time stage, and then they started teething, I would take quadruplet newborns over teething twins.
How did you get them to sleep and stuff though? Because that's what I always hear.
Swaddles. I swaddled them, like the Velcro swaddles. They lived in those. They liked the tightness. The girls really mm-hmm. liked the tightness. And then even when I was starting to transition them out of it and I would do one arm, they would still fine as long as they were tighter. And then when it was like, okay, you guys can't have your arms tucked in at all anymore. I didn't use blankets. I would still swaddle just their bottom half and they liked the tightness. And at this point they just sleep in sleep sacks. And actually I have a weighted sleep sacks from Dreamland Baby and they are the best sleep sacks. I would pay all over again for them. We were blessed with them. Somebody had blessed us to be able to buy them because they are a pretty penny. And when you have to buy 2 of everything, then it's not the best. But they are, one of my favorite things are those Dreamland Baby sleep sacks. They are the best.
And how are they with eating? Eating was okay?
Yeah. So I nursed them. I exclusively nursed them for 6.5 months. They nursed really great. They both actually ended up having tongue tie revisions. Kaya was because of a latch. So Kaya's latch was poor. I brought Caitlin in, and at her 4-month checkup, the pediatrician said, has she had her tongue tie revised? And I said, no, she's been latching fine. She's the bigger one. She always weighed more. Mm-hmm. And she was like, okay, I think you need to get it taken care of. And I said, why? And she said, look, and her tongue was pulling inwards to where the tip of her tongue was like the shape of a heart. Mm-hmm. And she goes, that's going to affect her speech later. And I was like, ooh, okay. So we got hers taken care of. And so she was about 5 months and she did that. And they did fine. They recovered from it. But yeah, I nursed, they did have a NICU stay they were born on Thursday. We got home Monday. But Caitlin wouldn't take a bottle in the hospital. And she had the NG tube in her nose. And so they were I was bringing breast milk in or formula or whatever. Or they would use formula. And I finally said, can you try a weighted feed? Because I want them to come home and I don't plan on using bottles anyway. If I can get them to latch, I plan on just nursing them. And she was like, yeah, sure, we can try that. And so she weighed her, I nursed her, she weighed her. And at that time of like how old they were, they only needed about 45 milliliters per feeding. And when she calculated it, she got about 60 milliliters. And she was like, that's amazing. They're only a few days old and your milk is so great. That's awesome. So they did not worry at all anymore. And they took the NG tube out shortly after, but she just couldn't, she would just gag on the bottle. And so she would just nurse. And I think that was because we were able to get them both latched well. And they stayed in longer because of their sugars. Their sugars just were so crazy. And so I just remember being in the NICU and sitting there and the curtains are closed. It wasn't a very big NICU and the curtains are closed and I'm feeding one of them. And the nurse is talking to the doctor and says, this is baby 5 and 6. They're not jaundiced. They're both latching. She's making plenty of milk. We've done weighted feeds. And the doctor goes, send them home. That's 2 babies. This could alleviate 2 beds. Send them home. And so I think that was a great thing of us being able to leave early because I was just like, get them on, get them latched, please.
Yeah. All right. So tell me how you've got 6 kids, you bring home 2 babies. What do you do I don't like to use the word like survive. It sounds so negative. Ugh. Like there's things that you could do to make your life easier and have a home that is run smoothly. So what are the things that you do?
My older kids, as much as they don't like it, because we have a teenager. And so he's like, ugh, life, terrible. As much as he doesn't want to, we're big on them helping around the house. Like I'm one person, and especially right after birth, like I'm one human being. I can't pick up this. And first off, I didn't make this mess. That was all you right there. So our kids take turns with dishwasher to where they empty it and then reload it. And then we'll start it before bed. And then they empty it the next day. So whoever emptied it yesterday doesn't have to empty it today unless it gets run twice. Then you will have to empty it after your brother. But they are the ones who primarily do the dishwasher. We put their clothes in the washing machine and I'll transfer it because my husband usually does. When I was pregnant, I could not reach the bottom of our washing machine. I'm way too short for that. We'll put it in the dryer for them, but they're the ones that put all their own clothes away. They help put the 2-year-old's clothes away. Now our 6-year-old is putting his clothes away, which is, it's not fair. It's not fair. We're on that stage with him, but they are the ones that have to help around the house. It's how our machine works. You are part of the machine. That's what happens when you're in a big family. You all have your thing that you have to help out with. It's not like we're asking you to mop the floors and, you know, use your toothbrush to clean the tiles, but you are going to help out with your chores. That's your laundry, stuff you wore.
Yeah.
You're going to wash it, or you're going to at least put it away. I'll throw it in for you. I don't want to put it away. I'll throw laundry in all day. We cloth diaper. I'll throw it in all day long. I just don't want to put it away.
You cloth diaper for all 6 or just the twins?
We cloth diaper our 2-year-old. He's only cloth diaper. Right now the twins are in disposables because when I put them back in when we moved here, I had to like strip the diapers
yeah.
and all that stuff fun stuff because they both got like rashes, like a burn type rash.
And I was stripping like, is like you have to clean them a certain way to get the chemicals out.
Yeah, well, extra build up minerals in the cloth. And so
then they don't absorb what they're supposed to absorb.
They get rashes from too much of the detergent or whatever. Yeah. So because the water is just so different. Like it's, I have to use borax to soften our water because our water here is
hard water.
It's harder. Mm-hmm. So his diapers were fine, but the twins for some reason weren't.
Cloth diapering was a financial choice, economical, environmental choice.
Not so much an environmental choice, honestly. No, I'm not going to lie. I stopped working when we had our 2-year-old and I thought, what can I do to help, you know, save money around the house? And that was one of them. I thought, let's just do this. And I found some small shops that were always like, buy one, get one free. So yeah, I would get 8 diapers, but I only paid for 4 of them. And then I found another shop. I love her. Actually, she blessed me with, she had twins. She lost them, but she had twins. And she blessed me with every time I would order 1 diaper for the girl, she would throw in the extra one for free. So the girl's whole, I use covers with the girls instead of pockets. There's 2 different types. And I use covers so I can just, I only have to use 2 covers a day per baby unless they poop in the diaper and then that diaper's done. But you just wipe out the shell and just put a different insert inside of it. I paid for 10 diapers, but I have 20 diapers for both girls combined. And it lasts me. I probably have to do probably every 4 days whenever I'm doing it because they just are crazy going to the bathroom because they're babies.
Okay. So what do you tell people when they say, oh my gosh, you have twins. Why are you cloth diapering 2 babies?
Because we have 3 in diapers, like 3.
So how much do you think you save by using just cloth diapers?
Well, I with the girls, it's about every 2 weeks I'm buying the biggest box of $30 diapers. So that's $60 a month. But when they were little, we were given size 1 diapers and stuff like that. So they were about a month old when I could put them in. So I didn't even buy diapers, but when they're about a month old, I put them in their newborn. And so from a month to, I want to say 8 months. So that's 60 times 8, times 7. So that, and I don't know how my girls will do potty training. Like my 2-year-old, he's almost 3. He's closer to 3 than he is 2. And he has no desire to go to the bathroom. He says he wants to go potty, but it's like right before a nap because he doesn't want to go down for a nap. Yeah. I have to go potty. And he doesn't. But my boys are all probably 3 or over. But I don't know how the girls would be. They could be like, 18 months old and think, peeing in a diaper is gross and potty train themselves. But I don't force it on my kids because I don't want it to backfire.
Yeah, definitely.
But I love cloth diapering. Nice. As soon as these disposables are done, as soon as all those are done, I'm going to get them back into the cloth diapers.
Okay, so you have a bunch of kids, which I say that, but it's like, it's not that many. And you only have one more than me. But some people, and I think a lot of people who listen to the podcast have a lot of kids because got at least 2 at once. So what is your best advice for giving each kid the individual attention they need or that they desire? So sometimes it's more than just what what you think they need.
Yeah. So it's hard. When we were in Arizona, it was very hard because like I said, we didn't have any family. We had friends, but none of them had a lot of kids. So it's just overwhelming for other people. I feel like us, it's normal. Mm-hmm. Like, I have 6 kids. It's my normal every day. It's something I grew accustomed to, but other people are just like, oh my gosh, that's so many kids. Oh, they're coming. They're walking towards us. Mm-hmm. But so it was harder when we were there. And now that we're back and my mom lives close to us, I told her, I was like, I'm just making up for last time where we first moved here. It was like every 2 days she was over, but I was trying to get the kids enrolled in school and not have to unload the twins because they're not in their infant car seats anymore. Mm-hmm. They're in a convertible seat. So it's not like I can just take the whole thing out.
It's a different life once.
Child. Yes. Yep. I switched them right before the move because they would scream in the infant car seats. And but now that my mom's here, she's the biggest blessing. She actually is at our house right now while the girls were napping. And last night, our 13-year-old they're doing a contest today. He's an orchestra. It's like the county contest for different schools. And last night was their prep concert for it to prepare them to go to a concert today. or to contest today. And my mom came over and we're just going to take, she goes, oh, I'll come watch the little kids so they can go to bed. So it was at 7. They go to bed earlier than that. And then we were just going to take all three boys. And I thought, if she's going to be here, let's just do it just Keaton. And we'll just keep the other kids home. And we just were able to spend time with him. And that doesn't happen that often because of how many kids we have. But now that we're back with my mom and she lives close by and she's able to, I think it's just a nice blessing to have her come over and just hang out with five so we can take one out or something like that.
What do you do on a day-to-day though? You know, when you are in a big family, sometimes I'm a middle of five.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Sometimes you feel, you know, not seen or heard. So how do you give your kids the attention so that they are supported in, you know, their goals?
That's still something we're honestly still learning. I feel like because having the twins, it's not just adding one baby to where it's easier to be able to go do stuff with one. When you have two, it's like you have to load everybody up to go do this trip. So it's still something that I'm still working on every day. Not everybody gets that one-on-one every day. And my older two are, you know, preteen and teenager. So they kind of are in that stage where they don't talk to me. I've got it. But my six-year-old, because there is that bigger gap between them, he wants to do what they're doing, but he's not old enough to do all the things that they're doing. Yeah. And it's just not fair. That's his new word. It's not fair, but it's hard. And it's something that we're trying to work on with now that, the weather was getting nice and now it's cold again, you know, try to at least go outside or do something. I sat in bed after all the littles went to bed the other night and my husband was working. The big two watched a movie out in the living room and Kyson and I got in my bed and we watched Encanto for the 8,000th time. And mm-hmm. I cried again, like always, because I cry every single time I watch Encanto. And I think that helped his little heart, like just knowing that I was laying next to him and we were watching the movie together. And
yeah.
I feel like Camden gets more of the one-on-one attention because he's not in school every day. So I think even if it was just watching a movie, that was what he needed. He needed mommy to lay next to him and, you know, cry your eyes out for the 100th time watching Bruno come back.
Yeah. So you said focus on your kids. How do you focus on your marriage?
We've been doing a lot more date nights. I told my mom we're like making up for lost time. And then my husband even said, okay, we need to take a break. Like, I feel like we're using your mom too much. And I said, yeah, I think we are too. And then like every Sunday she'll text me and say, do you want to go out? And I don't initiate it. She's the one that texts me or will call me and say, do you guys need a date night tonight? So having her is just, and I know not everybody has it. I know not everybody has the support or the family. So I can't say, go get your mom to do it. But we have been so blessed to have my mom close by.
What is your best advice for twin moms?
Do not stress over if you want to nurse and you can't, because that was a big thing for me. I stressed really hard on nursing and I did make it 6.5 months. And then the first like couple weeks they were on bottles, I was very sad about it because I had nursed my three of my other kids for so long that I felt like it was such a part of my identity. Mm. But now I'm like, go make your sister a bottle or something, you know, like it's fine. We got it now. And I feel much better about it. And then utilize twin products. Like some people say, you don't need this specific thing. You can just use two boppies. Get that twinsy pillow. Even if you're not going to nurse, get that twinsy pillow because at some point in your life, you are going to feed two children at the same time, whether it be with a bottle or you're nursing them. And that twinsy pillow will be your lifesaver to where they can both lay in it and drink their bottles or something like that. But definitely if it is labeled for twins, take advantage of it.
What other products do you like?
The twinsy pillow was definitely one of my number ones right now because my girls are, I call them bougie babies. They like their bottles very warm. I use that Baby Brezza instant warmer. I don't use the formula one because I kept seeing things about how it wasn't like accurate with the formula, but the water warmer, it just keeps the water warm all day long.
It's kind of like a Keurig, but for bottles.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. And so we actually have two of them. I keep one upstairs. The bathroom upstairs is literally just a formula bathroom. I don't even think nobody bathes in it. And so it's just all their bottles are all set up. And then I have one downstairs so that if at 2 a.m. or if they want a bottle while we're downstairs, I don't have to trek upstairs or trek downstairs. Mm-hmm. So I said, my husband was like, this is going to be useless. And I was like, you're not the one making 7,000 bottles a day. That's all me. It's all me. And so then when we moved, I bought it right before the move. And I said, when we move, because we have upstairs, I'm buying another one. I said, I don't care. That's fine. You love it. It works. Use it. I'm trying to think of other products that I loved. I didn't use a Halo Twin bassinet because they're so expensive. I used like a Simmons baby one, I think.
It was a double bassinet with the twins. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I had the singleton one and I like it. Our bed was on risers. And so our bed was very high. And so I needed one that would go high enough. And Halo is one that does that. But this other one, I think it's Simmons baby or something like that. And it was half the price. And it goes up as high as my bed needs to be. And it's side by side. And the girls always were side by side. I think that's it. That's what I used. Pacifiers if you need them. My girls are on two separate pacifiers.
Twin pacifiers.
I wish.
I'm just kidding.
I mean, twins share everything.
Did you have the Quince dolls when you were little? Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yes.
So yes. My daughter's been playing with our set and the bottles are connected. It's five bottles.
Yes.
You know, this is a toy, but I mean, it's five. Just like plastic. Lay them all down. So yeah. You lay all five baby dolls down with a bottle. And I'm like, where was that?
When we left here, I told my husband he was taking me from my people because I have three friends that are all twin moms. I was like, I need them. I have to have them. So when we moved back, I was like, guys, come to me. Come to me. I need you. So it's perfect. You need that community. That's another big thing is you need to make sure you have your community, whether it be online, whether it is a Facebook group, because not everybody gets what you can have five singletons, but twins are really a completely different ballgame, I think. Because there's two of them at the exact same time going through the exact same thing. Whereas, I had a 2-year-old and a baby and they were both, you know, sad. No. Two teething babies is completely different.
Yes, I will agree with that. It's hard to explain, but it's different.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So tell me what you do for yourself real quick.
Lately, my thing is I've been listening to audiobooks. And that's actually how I found your podcast because my next audiobook was not available because I get them through the library and it was like a 14-week wait. I was like, I need to listen to something like while I'm washing bottles and, you know, if I'm getting the girls down for a nap and I want to listen to something. And so I just went on Spotify and typed in Twin Mom Podcast and found it, started from the very beginning, went through the whole thing I started Saturday morning. By Monday, I was all caught up and I was like,
so now you have no hobby.
Now what do I do? I've been going to like at least go get my nails done or something. Just like I broke a nail the other day on Saturday, and after church I was like, my husband didn't work at church on Sunday, so he stayed home with all of them, and I was like, after church I'm going to get my nails fixed and then I'm going grocery shopping without children, without mommy, can I get this, mommy, can I get that? So I think just that right now. There's not much else by myself. I'm a big binger with things. Like when I watch a show, I'll binge the show. Mm-hmm. And we're watching Blue Bloods together, like it's our show together right now. Together that he worked all weekend. I was like, I know what's gonna happen, and we're only on season 3, but I need you to come home.
Yeah,
I need to know what's going on.
All right, well, thank you so much for this interview. I appreciate you reaching out and chatting with me. I love talking to other twin moms. Thanks for hanging out with me today. If you want to hang out some more, you can follow me on Instagram at @neighborhoodtwinmom. If you want more info on what we talked about in this episode or a transcription of the audio, head to neighborhoodtwinmom.com. If you like what you hear, please leave a 5-star rating and review. This helps other people be able to find the podcast. Music for this episode was composed by Cameron Norby. Find more of his work on YouTube.
And we opened it up to look at the color on the door of what color it is. It says, this is a bus. And then in parentheses, it says not a school bus, but it's labeled as a bus.
This is a bus.